Hello there, and a very warm welcome to what is our season wrap-up on the official EFL podcast. 2023-24 is done. The glory, the ups and the downs, the heartbreak for some, and many that are just happy to be along for the ride. David Stoule is not one of those people. He is a wonderful success story from this season's official EFL podcast. He's here to wrap everything up with me, because let's be honest, I need all the help I can get. Stoule, how are you?
I'm very well. I'm sad the season's come to an end because it's been quite the ride, as it always is in the EFL. But yeah, here we are, just sort of congratulating those who've had a great season and you know, helping the others along the way, perhaps a little bit. And how are you, mate? You've had a great season on the box. So how are you now?
Well, that's very kind. I'm all good. It flies by, doesn't it? And we've spoken about this before on the podcast. When you're in the car, when you trying to work out whether thermals are needed, when more often than not they are. You're in football in England, whether you've got the right wet coats on, whether you're going to be warm, wet, everything in between. And now you're sitting here after everything's been done, the number of games that we've both covered and everyone that's involved in Sky Sports. And you do kind of collectively give yourselves a pat on the back. We understand, of course, nobody's curing any form of illness or changing lives, but we do our utmost to do the best that we possibly can. And you get this weird sense, I mean, firstly, you kind of decompress a little bit and you feel a little bit, hesitant to use the word tired, but a little bit tired. And then you just kind of go, oh, I'm going to miss it for a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, you have to have that sort of bit of recharging, I think, and then you're ready to go again. But it is funny because, like you say, we're not splitting the atom here. But you know, it's you're on a conveyor belt of games essentially through the season. A lot of travelling, indeed, you're travelling now. Yes. You know, we're all sort of on the move a lot, and yeah, stats of various teams and players whirring around your mind when you're trying to get to sleep at night. I mean, the number of times I've woken up at sort of 2:30 in the morning and then started thinking about who's going to play central midfield for one of the teams I'm commentating on the next night. It's just, yeah. But it's great. It's the best job in the world. We love it. And yeah, now we have a little bit of sort of stand back time from it, and we go again.
We do. And you get the feeling across the board, because as we do have that wonderful access to teams and managers and chief execs, etc., there's a sense of taking stock. There's a sense of planning ahead for the future, the very near future, of course, being that next season. So let's get cracking. Let's go. We're going to go bottom to top. So we're going to start in League Two, because obviously we've got new faces. Well, we've got one face that's back that we've missed dearly, and a properly new face, haven't we, coming into the EFL?
Yeah, some really interesting teams are always in the mix for promotion from the National League. And of course, some make more headlines than others, with the likes of Wrexham and Stockport in recent seasons. But Chesterfield were always going to be right in the mix this season for promotion. And indeed, they just stormed the league, didn't they? I mean, to win it by 12 points.
I mean, they've been done. We're talking about the end of the season. They've been done and dusted for about 3 months.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Yeah. And great credit has to go to the players, to Paul Cook. I mean, the side he put together there, we always knew the attitude that he was going to instill in his side, or maybe not necessarily instill, but perhaps recruit for. I mean, that's what managers are like, aren't they? It's not just about getting a guy who can kick a ball well. It's actually about having the character, isn't it, that particular manager wants. Yeah. The same in the women's game, the same in academy football. They try and sort of foster that along the way. So great credit for that. And also Andy Woodman at Bromley, a terrific job. You know, just missed out on second spot by 5 points. But of course, there's that in the National League, there's that jeopardy that second spot gets you nothing other than a spot further down the line in the playoffs. It's that sort of six-team shake-up for the one slot to go up, which is, you know, it gets people in the mind a little bit, but it does mean the season goes on and on for teams. And well done to Bromley, a very new face, and we'll see both of them next season, yeah.
We shall indeed. It's Sutton, of course, and Forest Green. They're going to give the National League a crack once again, and fingers crossed for both of those going back into it. Good men in charge of each respective club there in their quest for an instant return. We talked about it getting boxed off by Chesterfield coming up, but Stockport, Wrexham, Mansfield, it was all about those for a huge swathe of the season, wasn't it? Given as well what happened last season with the clubs involved. They have done it in all of their own different ways, all big clubs in this particular division in their own different ways. And all, to me, Stoule, seemingly well-equipped both player-wise and foundationally, financially wise, climbing up to the next division? Because there's a lot of chat that we hear from managers and players about League Two and League One being really quite close. Do you see them potentially going again? One of the three, two of the three, three of the three?
Well, certainly what it's worth noting with Stockport and Wrexham is that the sort of financial side of things that, that's been talked about a lot in recent seasons that's sort of helped them go up from the National League to the League Two and then from League Two up to League One. And that's obviously where you stand. You're stood in good stead, if you like, because you've got that financial power. It can also be a little bit of an Achilles heel, can't it? Because you can look at some of the players who are perhaps interested in moves to clubs who perhaps have a bit of money. Obviously, Wrexham, particularly well documented with the documentary that they've done, that can be a problem.
Literally
for them
well documented.
Yes. they've got to make sure that they select the right people as well as the right players. But those two teams will be very interesting to watch. And Mansfield Town, I think we talked about this earlier on in the season on the pod, the fact that Nigel Clough had a couple of near misses where the playoffs were concerned, and it would have been easy for the hierarchy at Mansfield Town to say, right, you've had a good couple of goes, we haven't quite got there, let's move on and find someone else. But instead they gave him a new contract and said, let's go again, we believe you can get us up, and they've got the reward for that. So I'm sure that over the course of this pod, and indeed in future pods and in past pods, we've talked about how some owners or chairmen have sort of decided to make a change and have perhaps benefited from it. Some have decided to stay loyal and have benefited from that. And certainly Mansfield Town have reaped the rewards of that decision.
Of course, I mean, we talk about those three big clubs in that particular division, but there's one club that absolutely smashed its way through the playoffs. And we talk about the jeopardy of the playoffs. We talk about cagey games. Absolutely none of it for Crawley Town, wasn't it?
I mean, that's remarkable. It's the story of the season in some ways in League Two, even though they weren't talked about for a lot of League Two. I mean, I'm actually sitting. I won't hold it up. This is not an advert, but I've got a pre-season preview magazine in front of me, and I've got a few, in fact, because I'm one of those people who buys a lot of them because I'm interested to know what people think. Not always, not on social media necessarily.
Yes, correct.
But and I'm looking at a predicted league table for League Two, which has Stockport and Wrexham as 1 and 2, which is, there you go, bang on, 1 and 2.
Yeah, mind-blowing.
And it has Crawley in 24th.
No way.
Propping up the lot, being relegated with Sutton, who were second bottom, and indeed Sutton were second bottom. So there's a lot of ticks in this table that I'm looking at now. But of course, Crawley is the big one that caught a lot of people out. People sort of saw the season previously and saw their recruitment and thought, I'm not sure about this. No sort of star names necessarily coming in or jumping off the page for people who are making the predictions. And some of these predictions are early, of course, as well. But yeah, it took a lot of people by surprise. And of course, kept on climbing in on that final day. And then, you know, absolutely blew away MK Dons, who'd been one of the teams of the season in this division. So yeah, remarkable story. And I think great credit goes to Scott Lindsay, one of the standout stars of League Two, if you like, just because of the way he navigated them into that position. And then, of course, absolutely bossed the playoffs.
And going back to that predicted magazine, I'm sure when it comes out in another couple of months or so, I'm sure MK Dons, Donny, given obviously their finish and the momentum they had, crew, I mean, Bower or Bradford, I could keep going all the way down, because just as you said there, Notts County, how much were they flying with McCauley scoring all the goals that he was scoring and leading the line for them? Another fellow that's been on the pod, McCauley Langstaff, and joined us for the player final. Yeah. Wonderful company, that boy. So eyes on those potentially in the shake-up promotion next season, joining them in that particular division, Cheltenham, Fleetwood, Port Vale and Carlisle. All the chat, as we were discussing towards the end of the season, was whether Cheltenham could achieve the Great Escape. Darrell Clark, obviously, as we know and spoke to, did as much as he possibly could. But sometimes seasons come to an end, tenures come to an end, managers move on. That's just the very nature of the beast. And he finds himself in South Yorkshire now, doesn't he, with Barnsley?
Yeah, and it's funny, isn't it, how things can change. And also, sometimes you look at league tables at certain points in the season, and you, I remember sitting down with Don Goodman, who of course we know and love well, and we were looking at Coventry City last season when they had that awful start to the season because of various issues, and we looked at the league table about 3 or 4 months in, and we said they're not in the right spot. Yeah, there are lots of teams that might struggle in the championship, mm-hmm. but they're not. They're gonna fly, and they did. Mm-hmm. And you sometimes in a season you look at the League One table and you kind of looked at Cheltenham and thought, with the start they had or the good little run they had early on under mm-hmm. Darrell, you thought they could fly from here.
Yeah.
And it just didn't happen. And obviously they've ended up going down by 2 points. And you talk about managerial movements. There've been quite a few in the few days at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Burton Albion surviving by 2 points, but they've parted company with Martin Patterson. You know, some clubs have sort of succeeded in a sense mm-hmm. in terms of staying up above the dotted line, but have decided to go again anyway and to change things up for next season. So it'll be interesting to see how they do next year mm-hmm. based on that change and whether it's worked out for them or not.
The tough one is with that, especially when we talk about clubs. The financials of football clubs it's deep and dark, and it's for a brain bigger than mine. But I think sometimes it feels, when you look at these clubs, where if there isn't an ability to change a huge number of players, then to change one man and it falls on his shoulders, as you say, you get to the end of the season, you scrape through. Suddenly it's a case of, well, if we change the fella that's leading this particular ship, maybe they're going to get something different out of these players. And that's when recruitment, when it comes to, we hear about it with players, to managers is key as well, because we sometimes see a boss completely transform a squad that was kind of fair to middling under one particular way of going. And new ideas, a new set of eyes sometimes brings something different out of a team, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, Mike Williamson in League Two with MK Dons is a great example, wasn't it, of someone fresh coming in, coming in when he didn't have a chance to sell 20 players and bring in 20 players. He just had to work with what he had. And that sort of fresh idea, that maybe sometimes the way that you're treated by a manager, isn't it, as well? I mean, you know, from down through the years, the number of managers you've had, I mean, the number of clubs you've had, there's been
the number of managers that have hated you over the years. Yes, you're right, Stanley. Yeah.
But it's interesting, isn't it? You'd have one manager who you might not get on with particularly well, or you might not think is actually getting the best out of the guys around you. Mm-hmm. Someone else comes in, makes a big difference, and you can see a team really build momentum and get fly at the table. So yeah, the managerial changes are fascinating, and you know, we'll talk about a couple in the championship in a moment, but you know, one that sort of surprised me in League Two, I know we're in League One now, but just briefly back to League Two, was Pete Wilde at Barrow, who could have had an amazing season. And I mean, they did, but they almost got into the playoffs, could have perhaps in another season gone up. And then all of a sudden they've dropped out on the final day, and now they've parted company with a manager. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see what he does in the months and years ahead, and what they do as a club as well. So, yeah. The guy at the top is very important, and it's not just the tactics, is it? It's the emotional side of things as well, perhaps.
Very true, and of course, it's quite right to mention Pete, who's been on the podcast before. It was wonderful company, wasn't he? Really good talker. I sincerely hope that he plots up somewhere and leads some other team to some forward glory. At the top end of League One, it was Pompey and Derby that secured the two automatic spots. Pompey, under John Mussino, led the way for so long, Derby and Bolton duking it out for that second spot. Pompey Derby, it feels, yes, it's that first step back towards, in inverted commas, they feel they deserve to be. Paul, at the end of the season, just looked relieved. Bless him, Paul. The woolly hat was still on, even though it was May. He was just glad to get over the line. I'm so intrigued to see what a little rest and a recharge for him does for his energy levels going into next season, because with both of those two, we'll come on obviously to the team that went to with them by the playoffs. The expectations there, isn't it? I mean, the shadow, the example of Ipswich Town now looms large over teams that are coming up from League One because they've been former Premier League teams. Obviously, they've all got to do an Ipswich Town league back to back.
Oh, well, I mean, haven't Ipswich just put the pressure on everybody in that sense? I mean, there's no excuses, is there, when you look at what they've achieved this season. But yeah, the interesting thing with Portsmouth and Derby, I think, now is that we talked at the very beginning of this chat that, you know, we've had a busy season. Everyone involved in football works really hard for those 9 or 10 months, and then you feel like you need a rest and a break. But managers now have to go into overdrive rebuilding their squads for next season. So Paul and John, as two examples, are not only trying to make their squads a little bit better because they always want to improve, but they've now got to go a whole division better in their recruitment. They'll be looking now at players who are going to cost a whole lot more in terms of wages and possibly transfer fees and all the rest of it as well. And I suppose those clubs who've been going for promotion throughout the season will have been looking at this summer window for months, and they'll have had a League One list of targets and a Championship list of targets. And so now they've got to rip up the League One list and say, we don't need that because we got up. But now we've got to get this lot of players in. And some of the players who are in their team won't fit in the Championship perhaps. So they've got to move them on. And it's the jigsaw puzzle starts for them now, doesn't it? It's a case of maybe having a few days off, but having your phone by the pool and making sure you take those important calls and then getting back to your respective club and getting on with it.
Now, the potential, of course, of the team that was going to join them. All the chat about Bolton, all the chat about Peter, Brett Barnes, of course, chuck them in there as well. Lincoln, Blackpool, even down to Stevenage and Wickham. But Oxford United, yes, they had a managerial change. Yes, they had a little bit of a choppy water scenario to work through when Des Buckingham first came through the door. Oxford fan, been around the world. He's back with a team that he knows and loves. And he's back with a team that he knows and loves, and he's taking them to the second tier for the first time in a footballing generation.
A wonderful story and a wonderful performance from them on the day. I mean, we were there together, weren't we, at Wembley for the League One final, and I had the pleasure of sitting with Don Goodman for the final. We were watching it together, and it was interesting actually because even though we weren't commentating on the game, we were watching it from the stands. It felt like we were in the commentary box.
I've got visions of you two just secretly whispering commentary stuff to it. And I said that there,
holding up a bottle of water and pretending it's a microphone.
And it's in there. You're all right.
But it was interesting because we were having a little chat as the game was unfolding and sort of talking it through as friends, but also as people who would be doing it in that way if we were in the commentary box. It was really interesting and quite fun to do. But it was it kind of proves you're always working, aren't you, in your mind. But they did such a good job on Bolton. And we'd said in the preview pod, didn't we, that midfield battle, Cameron Bragg and Josh Sheehan, was always going to be really interesting to see who got the upper hand, who could get the ball down and play. And to a man, Oxford were just quicker, stronger, better on the day. Ian Evatt was so disappointed in the end that his team didn't show up and show what they could do. I mean, they beat Oxford by 10 points in the table, and yet that means nothing in the playoffs, does it? And I think Des Buckingham, the story, if you're a neutral and you step back from that, you have the story of, you know, as you say, Oxford fan, local boy. Wonderful for him. And how are they going to do? Let's find out. Let's sit back now and watch the recruitment and see how they get on.
I love that because the proper answer to that is, because you get asked it when you are working within football media, how do you think they'll get on? God knows, he's the honest answer, isn't it? And you say that with the greatest respect, and you've seen some really key players step forward and a burgeoning managerial career, but there's so many variables to go between now and the end and the start of next season. But as we've seen, let's jump into the bottom end of the Championship, as was at the end of last season, with the teams that have come down. Therefore, that makes sense, I think. And the black look on Stowley's face means it doesn't.
That's just my look. That's how I look.
you're resting confused, mate. Because the makeup of that particular division, we talk about how tough the Championship is to get out of. League One, that's going to be really, really tough. We've got Rotherham, of course, with Steve Evans coming down. Do not bet against them. And if you do,
they've already made about 58 signings already.
And if you do bet against them, make sure he doesn't listen, because he remembers stuff like that and he'll come for you. Huddersfield Town, of course. I mean, talk about a scorched earth mic drop. That Andrea Brighton writer said he's bit, and then a couple of days later he was gone, which you kind of thought from the outside looking in, to start from the top and work his way through the club to drag in managers that had been there before him and blame everything and just leave it in a pile of rubble and walk out. Never going to end well. Michael Duff has obviously stepped in there. And as for Birmingham City, again, it's been so long since they've been in the third tier of English football. So many different things have happened with the narrative of Birmingham City. The biggest one, of course, being Tony Mowbray, a manager that we've both got a lot of time for and have both worked with. He's stepped away, concentrating on the important things in life. Let's be honest, we love football, but your health is quite literally your wealth. So we wish him all the very, very best. And they've got another hurdle to jump over before the season starts, haven't they? So three big teams there that I think, do they fall down and become the three favourites for you to come straight back up?
Well, the thing is, we've talked already about Portsmouth and Derby coming up to the championship, and as you say, sort of, you know, trying to get back to former glories, if you like. There's only a certain amount of work that the badge will do in that sense, isn't there? You, as a team, as a squad, as a manager, as a coaching staff.
Great line, you've that. Got to, such well, a good line. Consider that nicked.
Thrown away, Mr. just thrown Stowell. Away.
Yeah,
you know, you've got to knit together and bring everything to the table to make that club what it could be. So Birmingham City, you know, second city of England, if you like, in League One, just seems absolutely crazy. Particularly, of course, and you know, we hark back to this, don't we, when John Eustace left them, they were in a very promising position, and
yes,
you know, they probably wouldn't have held on to where they were, but you never know. To be now pondering a season in League One is crazy, and there's obviously, we've talked all about that before, we don't need to go there again, but yes, you would expect them to be able to get people in who would put Birmingham City in an upwardly mobile position. So they should be up there. Huddersfield Town, I think it's been an incredible story the last few years, getting into the Premier League. It was always going to be a struggle to stay there. It didn't quite work out. Again, now it's about getting the right man in charge. And sitting here now, Michael Duff looks to be a great pick for that because of what he achieved at Barnsley against the odds, if you like, with certain players who he got the best out of, someone like Mads Andersen, who was wonderful at Barnsley and has gone on, obviously, to Luton in the Premier League and now back in the Championship. Whether he can do what he did at Barnsley and get Huddersfield Town really motoring, that'll be interesting to see. And then, as I say, Steve Evans, he's made five signings already, not quite 58, but five signings already, and players want to play for him at the end of the day. And, and you know, the quality that he's already brought in, that means they'll be right ready for pre-season as a unit if he keeps recruiting like this, getting the business done early. So, yeah, be interesting to see if they can do what they always do in League One and have a successful time.
And the story that he told us on the pod about being at Rotherham the first time around, when he was speaking to his boss and saying that if we get promoted, I want this nice big posh fancy car. And he delivered, and he has got that still nice big posh fancy car, which I'm sure, picture him on a Sunday morning, just buffing it up and making sure it stays
in a
nice
sombrero.
Exactly.
In a sombrero. That's his way, isn't it?
Sombrero and a sports car. Trying to work out how to see out the front. Right, so this is us in the Championship now, of course. We'll come on to the playoffs in just a second, because you've got big teams that are disappointed. Leeds, West Brom, Norwich, Hull City. I mean, again, another change. Let's box off the top two, Leicester and Ipswich. Now, we've followed these teams. If you are a fan, you've followed these teams and you're invested emotionally. You're looking at what Ipswich have done, and Leicester, two teams that came in from different directions, two teams with different expectations, two teams that turned out to have very highly coveted managers. So the glory of a promotion is there. You all celebrate. And then you look around and go, well, where's the boss go?
Yeah.
Because the vultures come down there. You've done a great job. Go and do that great job with us, please. Enzo, potentially, of course. And Kieran, potentially, of course.
Yeah, and they deserve all the plaudits, the managers, and indeed the players as well. Congratulations to both Leicester and Ipswich.
Amazing.
And, of course, Southampton through the playoffs. And all the other teams in the EFL who've had success this year as well. It's really interesting to see Leicester and Ipswich just a point apart in the top two when it's all done and dusted.
Yeah.
I think even the most ardent Ipswich Town fan, if you'd have said that you'd have got promoted to Premier League, you'd only be 1 point behind Leicester City, who spent £10 million on Harry Winks in the summer as a bit of recruitment from you know, the money from the Premier League and stuff like that. I think Ipswich Town fans would have thought you were having them on. And that's I mean that with the greatest respect and as the greatest compliment to them.
Yeah.
They've been wonderful. They've been a super addition to the Championship, not just the team and the manager, who I know well and is obviously a top guy as well as a great coach. But also the fans. I mean, Portman Road. I've not had the pleasure of being at Portman Road in the Championship this season, but just watching on from the outside, the atmosphere has been absolutely unbelievable. And there's always that cliche 12th man thing around football, isn't there? Your fans can make a big difference. They really can. And you look at Leeds in the playoff semi-final against Norwich City. You look at Ipswich Town throughout the campaign, all those late winners or late equalisers that they got at home. Unbelievable stuff, and fair play to everyone involved. It's been quite the campaign. And now we talk about recruitment. They've got to keep the manager first, and yeah. then they've got to recruit. yeah. And the signs yeah. seem to be promising on that front, but it kind of yeah. changes every hour of every day, whether you know people are staying or going or whatever. So I'm not, you know, we won't nail things down just yet on that
front. We can tell you what time it is and what day we're recording this on, but I mean, give it an hour or so, and we look at the ticker and it'll say something completely different, won't it? So
yeah, absolutely.
This is as of right now, if you're listening to this, and we apologise if it's all changed by the time you're actually listening to this. The playoff final, 85,000 people watching that particular game. Two huge football clubs, two clubs with expectation, given the fact that they were relegated Premier League teams. But as we saw with that second leg, well, for both really, they brought the real kind of fire and the thunder that needed to get themselves through into the final. But on the day, you would really have to say that Southampton managed the whole occasion. They used a man in Adam Armstrong in the best possible way. Give him half a chance, more than not this season, he'll score 24 goals for him. And in the biggest game, and I can say this with having first-hand experience of being a Leeds United player, in the biggest game of the season, just as a collective, weren't necessarily at their absolute best, were they? Which, if you're a Leeds fan, and there were many, many Leeds fans that I saw that were inconsolable, disappointed, angry, venting a lot of frustration, because it is, as people say, the best way to go up. But if you get there and you don't win, my word, that is a body blow that's going to take a while for them to get over. And Daniel Farke spoke after the game, didn't he, David, about how he wanted to get it together, how we wanted to move forward. And we saw an extremely emotional Russell Martin. And if you can't get emotional on days such as that, then you're in the wrong job, aren't
you? Yeah, I mean, first of all, going to Leeds United, I mean, absolutely crushing to lose that game yeah. after the season that they've had. To finish third in the table, yeah. you kind of, I don't know, maybe there's a sense of doom when the table yeah. finishes in your third, because you think
and you've got 90 points. And yeah, after all, like, you've got 90
absolutely.
Points.
And the playoffs is for everybody else who finishes yes. below you. It's not for you, because you're yeah. third. So if there weren't playoffs, you'd be up. Yeah. And so it's maybe there's that sense with fans, certainly. I don't know about how players think in that yeah. instance, but maybe fans think, great, we finished third. This is not going to work out for us, is it? Because that's not, you know, it's the sort of doom and gloom that you feel as a fan around yeah. your own team. But they've lit up the Championship at times this season. Yeah. They've been brilliant to watch at times. But what was interesting, I suppose, I did the Sunderland game towards the end of the season,
yes,
when it was really hotting up at the top with Leicester and Ipswich and Leeds. And I think everybody in the ground that night expected Leeds to turn Sunderland over, because Sunderland had had that season where they drifted and they were yeah. you know, at Elland Road with the fans. You just sort of thought, well, 2, 3, 4 Leeds yeah. have really got something to play for here. And it was 0-0, and they just didn't do enough to get the points to make the difference. And obviously, in the end, there was a six-point gap between Leeds and Ipswich, but that could have given them the momentum to carry yeah. on. It was part of that run where they really fell flat. And, yeah, to come up short at Wembley like that, awful. But then, on the flip side, Russell Martin, we know Russell well. He's
yeah.
he's stuck to his
lovely
beliefs.
Fella.
And
yeah.
I went back, because I'm a sad person and I don't have a lot going on.
Am I meant to
I went
say,
back to your very
no,
first.
No, you're not.
I went back to your very first Prutz predicts of the season, and you said, bless you here, you said, word for word, you said, Southampton fans, you're going to need patience and nerves of steel. Russell will have you playing out from the back, taking risks, but it'll be an enjoyable process. And I think that sums up the season for Southampton. Mm. Absolutely spot on. And you said that before a ball was kicked. So it has been an enjoyable Pure process luck. For them, because it's gotten to where they are now. Mm-hmm. But there was a point where a few were saying, this guy's not the man for us. We need a new yeah. manager and all this. And I commented on the Ipswich game, and one of those quite a few games in a spell where they just kept giving the ball to the opposition because they were playing yeah. out from the back, couldn't do it.
Woof.
Gave the ball, Amari Hutchinson scored the goal, Ipswich won the game. And you just thought at that point, can they carry on doing this? Well,
yeah.
the answer was yes, they could. They went on the 25-game unbeaten run, didn't they, after beating Leeds? And ultimately, up they go.
Yeah, and we bid them a fond farewell. Disappointment for the likes, as we said, of Norwich and Leeds. Norwich, they immediately made a change. They wanted something different going into next season. Hull City, that was a bit more of a surprising one, but as the owner, Arjunas Kuana, said, I mean, ostensibly, it's his football club. He can ask for whatever football he wants to watch, can't he? And who are we? We're not putting, I think it's to the tune of between 4 hundred to half a million pounds in a week. So if you, I think if you're going to do that, you can kind of put in into action whatever you want. I'm intrigued to see what those teams do. Of course, I say we bid a fond farewell to the teams that have gone up. There's three familiar teams, of course, coming down in the shape of Sheffield United, Luton Town and Burnley. Again, three clubs and teams and sets of players that thrilled us the last time we were in the Championship. Jury's out potentially on who's going to be there, who's leading them where, who's going to be able to put these teams together. And we'll soon see whether that season in the Premier League, Stowley, has done them any good. Oh,
we will. And we'll also see whether Burnley's approach to the Premier League affects the way that Ipswich and Leicester and Southampton think. Because obviously Southampton will have to adapt when they go up to the Premier League. Joby was saying this the other day, wasn't he, that they're not going to have as much of the ball necessarily in the Premier League because it's not the way that it works when you come up. Sometimes you have to change your style. Burnley decided they weren't going to change their style and it didn't work for them in the end. I did quite a few Burnley games this season and there was plenty of potential with the ball, but there were certain things just missing and it didn't come off for them, and obviously changes with the goalkeeper and stuff like that. But it does sort of mean that teams going up might approach the Premier League in a different way. Yeah. Burnley probably won't approach the Championship in a different way, though, depending on what happens at the top with the managerial situation. But it worked so well for them last time around, didn't it? Luton Town was always going to be an emotional season in the Premier League because of where they come from. The Tom Lockyer situation, obviously. I mean, we wish him all the best with everything forthcoming. And you've worked with him this season as a result of him not playing. And he's been great value on the telly as well. So, you know, it's been a really tricky season, I think, for Rob in terms of the squad he's had at his disposal with injuries, with Tom having what he had. That's been tough. And then Chris Wilder, I think, has gone into Sheffield United. He's desperately tried to get things going there, but that's just not worked either. So I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago and he was just saying that that he needs to shake things up. He needs to move some people on. He needs to make sure that he's got youth to build around, which he has in the shape of a few there. Mm-hmm. And see who he can bring in and what he can bring to the Championship. Certainly personality for one. That'll be for sure.
Well, that's something that the EFL has in abundance, I think, personality. And I think that's reflected, hopefully, dear listener and watcher, if you've watched us on YouTube, thank you very much. With the likes of, obviously, David Stowell joining us, Juliet Farrington, Gary Weaver, we've had some great guests over the course of the piece, haven't we, Stowley? And your contribution, as ever, my friend, has been greatly appreciated and respected. Anybody jump out that's been a guest that you've enjoyed? I mean, we can't say who we don't, because we're like everybody, don't we?
Well, I'll be honest. I think I've had a whale of a time doing this year with you. And thanks to the EFL for having me on board and producer Dave. And of course, yourself. You're the glue that holds it all together, which is slightly worrying at times.
But it's in it. I keep looking around for a grown-up. We're going, no, none here, no.
No, it's you again. I think in terms of guests, it's just been great. A lot of people have come on and given us a real insight into their lives, either as a player or as a manager, and those little bits that either as fans or perhaps sometimes as broadcasters we're not party to. I mean, Sammy Smodics has the season of his life, and so it's great to hear from him and the positivity of people like Nigel Adkins and plus
Sammy's 15-minute upload in his car outside Burger King, which we do thank you for his patience.
Yes, we had a lovely chat, didn't we, that went on, and he had the patience of a saint with us that day. But no, I think it's just it's great to chat to people with plenty going on, positives and sometimes negatives, which we actually have to touch on. And I've loved hearing everyone, including your good self, wrestle with the 72 in 72.
And second, the brainiest footballer on the planet, Matt Smith. That to me, as pyrrhic as that victory is, I'm taking it, my friend. I'm taking that.
It's been brilliant. I've loved every minute of it, and we'll sort of see what the summer brings us in terms of EFL fun and games with recruitments and all the rest of it.
We'll ride again sometime soon. This, of course, the last dance with a co-host this season. There's the best bits coming up in due course. But for now, please like, subscribe, follow us, watch us on YouTube if you haven't already. There's plenty to catch up on in that particular place. David Stowell, enjoy yourself. Have a good summer and a break, my friend.
And you too, my friend. It's always a pleasure. Great to see you.
Always a pleasure, dear boy, dear boy. Well, this is the official EFL podcast. My name's David Prutton. Thank you so much for joining us. We shall see you again soon.